Welcome to the Bold Money Revolution podcast. This is your source for straight talking, no fluff, business and high performance conversations that add real depth and value to the way bold leaders live, work, and thrive. I'm your host, Tara Newman. I'm here to show you how to optimize your performance as a leader so that you can grow a business that is profit rich, efficient, and allows you to generate real tangible wealth for yourself and others. We are here to help you lead with your values, to perform without overwhelm and burnout, and to do your most important work in the world. Hey, bold leaders. This is Tara Newman, and this is the Bold Money Revolution podcast, episode 294. And today I have inside voice, because, and I know that's like unusual, but I have inside voice because it is very early in the morning on a Saturday morning when I am recording this episode. We are having construction done in the house, and it has made it very, very difficult to record podcast episodes. But today, with Inside Voice, I am recording episode 294, and we are taking you behind the scenes into some of what is going on in the business and some of what has been going on for me since making the decision to close the Bold Profit Academy about a year ago. A lot has changed in my life, and a lot has changed in my business because I made that decision. So we are taking you behind the scenes. And we've done quite a number of episodes on this topic in terms of like closing the Bold Profit Academy, and we will link them here. So if you're new here, you can listen, or if you don't remember what that was about, you can listen. So after all the hemming and hawing in making this decision, it's become the gift that just keeps on giving. I do not regret it at all. Life just keeps getting better and better. The mental space it's created has allowed me to start to recover from some of the burnout, including what I'm going to call creative burnout from creating so much content. I've also completely left social media, which was mainly a personal choice. And I've started engaging in interests that keep me mentally and physically challenged. I find myself in the kitchen a lot, making and creating with my hands and less my brain. It's been giving my brain a real break, but it's also allowed me to be in movement. And I was talking to a friend yesterday. Shout out to Anthony if he's listening to this, because I do know he listens to these episodes. And we were talking about meditation, and I said, you know, being in the kitchen for me is very meditative. I love cleaning dishes, even though we have a dishwasher. When the kids were young, I used to love cleaning out the baby bottles because that is like moving meditation to me. And I think that there's a real threat to knowledge workers, which is, you know, a lot of the people probably who listen to this podcast in some shape or form are knowledge workers, in the sense that, you know, there's mental burnout that could come with that when we're using our brain, especially today in today's society where things are moving so quickly and we're probably expecting our brain to move at a pace it doesn't need to be moving at when we're consuming more bits of information than it could process. So, you know, there was a lot of mental burnout there. I've lost 20 pounds. My life is way less sedentary. I'm more present to my family and what I'm creating in terms of my true legacy and generational wealth. I'm earning less money from my work. My earned income has decreased, but my net worth and my cash savings has increased. It's allowed me to have more time to be mindful and intentional about how I'm using the money I do make. So at the beginning of 2023, I was already frustrated with my business and knew I needed to make some changes. Just didn't really know what they were, nor did I foresee closing down the Bold Profit Academy at that point. But I was putting so much effort into educating others, and the success was mixed. I put in so much time educating others about money, and I wasn't getting the results that I wanted. Well, of course, I'm not going to get the results I wanted. It's someone else's money. It's someone else's decisions. It's someone else's action taking. So I said to my husband, what if I spend more energy on our finances and less energy trying to get others to make progress with their finances? What would be possible then? And I actually forgot I said that until I looked back at my goals and did an end of the year money debrief. And what I found shocked me. We had increased our net worth by 30%. Now, you know, some of that is because we made additional contributions. Some of that is because market forces and the market went up. So, you know, your net worth is going to go up. It's going to go down. There are things that you can do to move that. Like you can have less liabilities, like you can pay off your debt and that would increase your net worth. You can increase your savings. That would increase your net worth. You could, you know, put more money away in your 401k or you can buy other assets, whatever. But some of that, when I say my net worth increased 30%, I just want to be honest that some of that is because of my money being in, you know, the stock market, and the stock market increased. But what I found fascinating is that we increased our cash savings by over 130%. That was actually my financial goal for last year, was to increase our cash savings, just because the economy is weird and wonky. And right now I want to have more cash on hand. So we increased it by over 130%. And my husband at the end of the year, when upon hearing that, acknowledged that I am an epic CFO, which is a BFD, considering I started my business knowing very, very painfully little about money, something I've also shared about on the podcast a number of times. Now, this is great. And it did lead me to a ton of self-reflection, because it deeply challenged existing beliefs I had. I made less in earned income, but my finances were better than they had ever been. Also, P.S., my husband does earn an income, so this is a two-income household. I feel like I always have to share that. But I really focused on how we were allocating the dollars we had, just like I do in business, making sure every dollar had a job. But it left me with this nagging question around, if our finances did so well because I was our personal money manager, but I didn't earn the money through my business, what does that even mean? Right? We're so used to having to have our thinking our money, when we increase our wealth or increase our money, that it has to come through the physical work we're doing. So this one kind of, even though I've been working on my money mindset for, you know, a very long time, 20 years, this one kind of threw me, because I spent the entire last year fretting about money for nothing. Hard lesson, friends, hard lesson. Spend the whole year worried about money and get to the end of the year and to see how well we were actually doing. And I'm like, why didn't I check this sooner, right? Which is really what I tell my clients with their P&L. I'm like, well, how do you know you're not doing well? How do you know you should be worried about money? Have we looked at your P&L lately? So hard and funny lessons, lots of rumbling and reckoning. And for the last year, business-wise, I've felt very much in limbo, straddling between the identity I had created for myself and becoming someone different. And when I say different, I mean less of a filtered version of me and more me, right? The mask is kind of coming off. And I think that's just, I haven't done anything personal development-wise. I think this is just a byproduct of, when I say I haven't done anything personal development-wise, other than owning a business, because owning a business is your greatest personal development assignment, right? It's always got you questioning and asking yourself, you know, who are you? Who are you becoming? Who do you want to be? What do you want? You know, how does this business contribute to that? What purpose does it serve in your life? And these are big questions to be rumbling with. So I think just a combination of being like 10 years into business, turned 48, this month, 48 years old, this just naturally becoming more me. I don't think there's anything that I've done other than those things to become more me, just gravitating more to the things that I enjoy, putting down the things that drain my energy. I really find I have very little tolerance for any of that now. I think because of the burnout, maybe some of it is age. So for those of you who need evidence that two things can be true at one time, this is it. Closing the Bold Profit Academy was the best decision I ever made, and it came with a year of reckoning and rumbling. It came with a year of feeling like I was in limbo, around feeling like I didn't quite know who I was, and that uncomfortable, itchy feeling of becoming someone different, right? Multiple things can be true at one time. So I have been reveling, though. Don't worry. I haven't just been, you know, in this perpetual state of existential life crisis. I have been reveling in closing the Bold Profit Academy being the best decision I've ever made. I've been allowing myself to feel more joy than ever before, and it's been fraught with, you know, these questions and anxieties and feeling like I don't know what I'm going to do next. So many times I thought, why not just close the business? That's a hard decision, right? Feeling more joy than ever before, and maybe I should just close the business. I don't want to do this anymore. It's too hard. Why not just let my investments work for me? Reduce my expenses so we can live off comfortably off of one salary and focus on other pursuits. And I'm sharing this because I think a lot of people ask themselves these questions on the daily. Why am I doing this, right? What do I want? What do I truly want? What's my purpose? But here's the thing. I love what I do. To this day, the absolute best decision I've ever made in my life was actually not to have children or not to get married, but it was to go to graduate school for industrial organizational psychology. I love that field of work, like obsessed with it. And it has allowed me to have a career that has ebbed and flowed and had different components and pieces to it. And it's very adaptable and flexible of a background. And for those of you who don't know, industrial organizational psychology is the study of human behavior at work. It allowed me to have a 20-year career in human resources. It's allowed me to work as a leadership coach. It's allowed me to work as a business consultant. And I truly love my field. I use my background every day. I used to joke that I used my degree more at home and running a family than I did a business when I was working in corporate. And I use my background every day, but honestly, I'm just another business coach with a podcast. You know, when I look at my marketing, when I look at my target market that I had been marketing to for a number of years, no matter how specific I got in my messaging, I was just another business coach with a podcast. My target market could work with anyone, and they usually do pick the most popular kids on the cooler with the cooler platforms, right? That's just what this space is like when you play in the online space and you play the online game. So I hired a consultant with money I didn't have. I just want to say that too, because I hear from so many people like, well, I can't afford it. I don't have the money. Yeah, I couldn't afford it either. I didn't have the money. I took the money out of my business line of credit, right? And I paid and hired the consultant. And what's interesting is too, is that I took the money out of my business line of credit. It was over $10,000, full transparency here. I took it out in February. This is the end of April. And because working with that business coach had fired me up and renewed my energy, I've already paid back $6,000 of that loan. I just have of that line of credit. I just have another $4,000 to pay back. And that's really epic considering, you know, my business isn't making the same amount of revenue that it was making last year. It's kind of in this holding pattern, right? And I know that even though my business isn't making the kind of money that I want it to make, or it isn't where it is, I still needed to make the investment into me. I still needed to make the investment into the business. And it has paid off just in the sense that it's renewed my energy. But today, this is what I wanted to share with you. This podcast, I want to share with you kind of what I've been working on with the consultant. So this podcast has been in production for almost 7 years. I started it when my business was in a growth phase, and it's done tremendous things for my livelihood, for my personal development, and for my energy. This podcast started out as a mechanism to reduce my time and reliance on social media. In fact, we closed our free Facebook group when we started this show. And it's allowed us to leverage other growth tools than either just being on social media or then doing some of the typical social media things that people do to grow their businesses. This podcast has been a way better use of my energy than to, say, have that Facebook group. Like, I used to blow out my energy in that free Facebook group, where this podcast has felt easy for the most part on most days. Nothing is always easy though, right? I'm sitting here on Saturday morning in indoor voice because I've had construction workers in my house while I've been trying to record this episode. Not easy. This platform has not only been here for sharing insights, but also a cornerstone of nurture in my business. So it's done so much heavy lifting. It has shouldered a significant part of my sales process, particularly in those like early stages of a sales process around building rapport, answering questions a potential client might have during the early stages of their buying process, and providing an honest, long-form way to showcase testimonials by turning them into case stories. It's also been a medium that I've consistently enjoyed delivering on, and like I said, I find it easier to create podcast content. It's the beginning of my marketing process where someone else can take a podcast episode and repurpose it in many different ways for social content without me even having to be involved. So why, after 7 epic years of this show and 294 episodes, not 300 episodes, would I be ending this podcast? That is what we're here to share today, that the Bold Money Revolution podcast, this is the last episode. Because a lot happens in 7 years. By the way, we've had a whole discussion on ending this podcast on episode 294 and not 300. Stacey Harris and I think it's hurting our brains a little bit, but it makes more sense to just close the door here than to force another 6 episodes. And you'll hear why. Because just because I'm closing down the podcast, this podcast, doesn't mean that's the end of me or the end of me podcasting. Spoiler alert. So my business has grown tremendously in the last 7 years. We weathered COVID, and in the subsequent years, I've given painful and tremendous consideration to what I want my business and life to look like. I think like most people have, as I was talking about earlier in this episode, right? Instead of doing things because that's how they should be done, or because I can, or because other people are doing that way, or because someone thinks I should do something a specific way, I'm focused on what is bringing me more joy and fulfillment to my life. That is what I am committing to myself, but also what I'm committing to all of you, because I know that when I show up and say, listen, I'm focused on bringing more joy and fulfillment to my life, not more grind and hustle, then I'm leading. I'm hopefully modeling to others how and why they should be doing this or considering this as well, that it's okay to focus on these things and have a business. So after a year of exiting parts of my business, completely exiting an entire target market and ruthlessly culling what no longer makes sense to hold on to, this podcast has landed itself on the chopping block. It is the one thing holding me to the past, and it's time to close the door as I open new doors. The podcast was created to serve a target market that I no longer serve. And talking about topics that will help me build an audience I no longer need, and to sell offers I no longer sell. Essentially, this podcast no longer serves a purpose. Right? And even though that's painful to think about, even though I've put so much work into this podcast, even though a lot of people listen to it, even though it's ranked pretty high up there in some of the podcast rankings, it's time to say farewell. However, we will be starting a new podcast because podcasting is still the best way I found to market my business and sell my services. Podcast is still alive and well. And as a matter of fact, in the last 18 months, I've pretty much quit social media in its entirety, both personally and professionally. However, I listen to hours of podcasts a day while I go on my walks, while I'm in my car, even when I'm cooking in the kitchen and doing other chores. I listen to far more podcasts than I even watch TV shows or movies. So podcasting is still where it's at. And if you're interested in learning more about podcasting as a business tool, check out my ride or die, Stacey Harris, over at the More Profitable Podcast. So let's talk about what's next. We will be launching a new show in the summertime called Scale Dad's Business Your Way. to support my new target market, sons of business owners who have bought dad's business and are now trying to untangle decades of the way dad has done things so they can modernize the business, regain their sanity, and scale their businesses their way while hopefully maintaining a good relationship with their father. This has been a target market that has been right under my nose. So sometimes we can't see the things right in front of our faces, and we need some help to see them. We all have blind spots. So this has been right under my nose the entire time, as in they are already existing clients, and in some cases, very long-term clients. It's also an area where I have a unique ability to help people with my background in psychology, often being referred to as the business therapist. And in conjunction with my operational skills set. So business psychology and business operations going hand in hand to be really useful in this area with this target market. We've also seen firsthand, my husband and I, how challenging it could be to buy dad's business because that is what he did, and how destructive to family relationships things can become, as my husband has found out taking over his father's business in 2016. And it took 6 years to turn that around. And for the last 2 years, growth has gotten to the point where we're at looking at creative ways to scale in one of the most complex business environments that I have ever seen. So we will be saving a co-host seat for my husband, John. I'm hoping that he actually becomes quite a regular on the new podcast to share his story and to share his journey, but also to share how and why he decided to hire me to support him in his business. That's right, friends. I usually joke around that my husband is absolutely not my ideal client, but lo and behold, he actually was. And he has hired me as a consultant to support him in his business. Maybe we'll even take you behind the scenes as we work through the hiccups and hysterics of a husband and wife working together, because that is actually a true thing. And this will be a big test of my willingness to get vulnerable in front of a podcast audience. And I'm looking forward to it. We'll be talking about how things like duty and loyalty and honor and pride become what holds sons back from truly making dad's business their own. How what started out as a shared vision, the son taking over dad's business, a shared vision between the father and son, is really a shared delusion, because it becomes clear that the gift dad thinks he's giving is really a bit of a lemon. A lemon in the sense that usually no investments have been made to the business since, I don't know, like 1984. It's a completely different operating environment than the one the father is used to. The operating environment for sons these days, way more regulated, highly litigious, increasingly more challenges with supply chain and workforce. Burnout among second-generation business owners is happening at a much faster rate. I had a client say to me the other day, you know, my dad burned out in 10 years, but it only took me 2 to completely reach burnout, right? So it's likely because of the way the business was transitioned. It's likely because the second generation is trying to run a business that wasn't built for them. And, you know, dad started the business on a shoestring, but the son is holding debt from buying the business. These are not the Nepo babies who have inherited a business. These are sons who have put financial risk on the table and have bought the business, usually a business that nobody else would buy. It wasn't actually sellable because of how heavily it relies on the owner. And now the son is trapped holding the bag for a business that nobody can buy and can barely keep up with himself. So this is really where I'm hanging my hat. I could go on and on about this topic, which I will on the new podcast, but what I've realized is almost nobody is speaking to these sons who bought dad's business. They are the anti-Nepo babies. They didn't inherit the business. They don't have a silver spoon in their mouth. They are not the show ponies. These are the hardworking sons who dutifully stepped in and stepped up when dad wanted to retire and bought the business from them. Sons who inherit businesses have problems rooted in entitlement, and I actually don't think they're solvable. I have seen these firsthand, And that's not really who I'm here for. I'm here for the guys who have risked everything for the legacy. Those people I can help. I'm here for the guys who are working through their mental health challenges that come with working with dad. They're motivated to change and have a sense of urgency, unlike most, because of how much skin they have in the game. I'm looking forward to helping them restore their internal compass, turn that lemon into the finest tasting lemonade, and create a business that doesn't require them to sacrifice their life to run. To everyone else, most of you even, I'm just another business consultant. We're a dime a dozen, right? But to sons of fathers in business, I can really make an impact. And that is what I am the most excited to do. So this podcast is wrapping up. It's coming to an end. If you are interested in following us and our new journey, that podcast should be launched somewhere in midsummer. You do know where to find me. Even though I have not been on social media, you can bet your bottom dollar that I will be announcing the new show and its arrival on social media. So if you are following me over there, you will know when the new show launches. If you are on my email list, you will know when the new show launches. And I'm hoping to see some of you over there. If you happen to be a son who is either currently running dad's business and he is still there and you're going to buy it, or you have bought dad's business, drop me a note. Drop me a note at support@theboldleadershiprevolution.com. I would love to hear from you. I'd love to know that you've been in my audience. If you resonate with anything that I've said on today's podcast, I would love to hear from you as well. See you on the flip side. If you've found this podcast valuable, help us develop more bold leaders in the world by sharing this episode with your friends, colleagues, and other bold leaders. Also, if you haven't done so already, please leave a review. I consider reviews like podcast currency, and it's the one thing you can do to help us out here at the Bold Leadership Revolution HQ. We would be so grateful for it. Special thanks goes to Stacey Harris from Uncommonly More, who is the producer and editor of this podcast. Go check them out for all your digital marketing and content creation needs. Be sure to tune into the next episode to help you embrace your ambition and leave the grind behind.